All right. Praise the Lord. Message series today is titled, We Need to Know. This is part one. The Lord's put on my heart to talk to the church about we need to know. And as I explained earlier, there are some areas just in our daily lives and many areas in the Bible that we need to seriously know and not only know, but apply to our lives. Because how many know that life changes every single day? Every single day, there's new things. There's sometimes unexpected things that come up and some situations that we are just not prepared to deal with in our own selves. But yet, if we trust in God, how many know that God is already in tomorrow? Right? God is in yesterday, he's in today, he's in tomorrow. God is eternal. So therefore, when those things come up, I need to learn how to trust in the Lord because he's already got it under control. He's already there. And if the word of God tells me that God is working on my behalf, that is the Lord who will fight my battle. If the Bible tells us these things, then how many know we can trust in the Lord for our eternity? We can trust in the Lord for our tomorrow. And we just need to learn how to deal with those particular situations that come up and that cause possibly major concern inside of our lives. Today, as we jump into this series, I want to talk about something that the Lord has put on my heart, and I think it's a very important issue. I want to talk about areas in our lives that sometimes can be very confusing and difficult to understand. Has anybody ever in this place dealt with a situation that was difficult to understand? Or maybe you're dealing with a situation even now that is very hard to comprehend. I mean, know that there's certain things that happen in our lives that we just can't possibly fathom of why in the world did that happen in our life. And yet, the Bible says that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, our lives in Christ can't be by what we're experiencing or what we're seeing. Our lives in Christ, everything we do and what we deal with in life has to be dictated by our faith that we have in Christ and in his word. So we have to be prepared for the unexpected, if you will, because life is full of unexpected events. I often have talked to you about this before, that you can go to bed one night and the day was great. And you wake up the next day and all you can say is, what happened? It was so good. Or, you know, you had a wonderful Monday through Friday. The work week was good. Man, that was a good week. The weekend must be even better. And the weekend just doesn't turn out to be what it was supposed to be. Those things happen in our lives. So as believers, as people of faith, as people put their hope in God, we need to be those that are prepared ahead of time so that if things happen, or should I say when things happen, that we are prepared. You know, it's like a computer. A computer is a piece of electronics that when you have, the word is, it's not if it will break, it's when it will break. And therefore, they tell us to do what to protect ourselves from our computer breaking down? Back it up. So in our brains, we have to, as we live by faith, we have to kind of go in the same way. It's not if something's going to happen. It's when something's going to happen. So what we need to do is we need to back it up. Back up God's word in our brains so that we know what to have. When you have everything, your computer crashes and you have everything backed up, you're at peace. You're like, I got all my pictures saved. Anybody ever lost pictures on a computer before? Because it just went, yeah. That's a bummer. Lost important documents? Yeah. You know, those things, you're like, turn my computer on. Take it to the guy to fix it. And he says, it's gone. And you're like, you kick that thing, man. Because it's got all your information. You can't dig it off anymore. So this is for free, right, Brother Sonny? Back up your stuff on your computers. Thumb drive, backup drive, back it up. Especially your pictures, okay? That's for free. No charge for that. All right. So let's move on to what we're talking about today. So what I'm addressing today in this particular part of our series, We Need to Know, is the reality that at times in our lives, we will face those hard, tragic days that leaves us blindsided sometimes, or sometimes very hurt, sometimes physically, emotionally, and maybe even spiritually. And maybe what I'm talking about is something that you have dealt with, you're going to deal with, or you're dealing with right now. But there are times in our lives where we will face those tragic, hard days. And you're thinking, man, I'm excited I went to church today because that sounds like an uplifting message. It can be uplifting when you realize that God is preparing us to have victory in all things. It can be a victory. It can be there. So in those times, we want to know this. Here's what we want to know, and maybe you're like me, and maybe you're not like me. But when I go through hard times, when I go through something that has affected me physically, emotionally, or spiritually, here's what I want to know. I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that things are going to be okay. That's what we want to know, that it's going to be okay. When you were young, and you raised up with a mom and a dad, traditionally, okay, when you got hurt, what did you do? You ran to mama. Why? See, mama could only clean up the wound, but she couldn't take it away if you got hurt. I remember falling on my bike, crashing up my elbow, and I told you that story before, and it was just jacked up, man. And I walked in. I just want to know it's going to be okay, and my arm's not going to fall off, mom. She couldn't make it go away. But she could dress the wound, and she could give me a hug. And when there's that mom hug, it just tells you it's going to be okay. And then us young little foolish boys, we just bandage it up, and we get back on and go again. But we're not going again if we don't know it's going to be okay. If there's a part in your life where you don't know and you're unsure if things are going to be okay, what happens is you will just stop. And sometimes you will back away. Sometimes you'll live in fear. Sometimes you will find yourself going the way you don't want to go in your faith because you just don't realize that it's going to be okay. In all things, it's going to be okay. And these are the things we're going to talk about in this series. But today, we want to know that. And you know the thing about being okay is maybe not right now when we're going through something, but eventually, it will be okay. Eventually, it'll be okay. And one absolute that we need to know is this. God will help us if we want. How many believe that? God is ready, willing, and able to help us at any time. Sister Tara gracefully said that I will wake up at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning, which is very true. That's why my cell phone is on 24/7, but please don't crank call me. If you wake me up in the middle of the night, it ain't an emergency. We're going to have words. My words will probably say, I love you, good night. But if there's ever an emergency, we are available. But the wonderful thing is to know that God is always available. And He will help if we want. Sometimes we forget to ask Him for help. Sometimes we think we can do it all. But I'm talking about those things that we're blindsided, that we were hurt by, that we're physically, emotionally, spiritually wounded right now. God will help us if we want. Listen to what David did in some of his darkest times. Here's David's response to some of his darkest times. How many know that the Bible is to show us what to do in these dark times? The Bible is there to equip us, to show us how do we handle this. And here's how David handled in some of his darkest hours. In Psalm 18:6, he said this, "But in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help." And the Bible says, "He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears." Do you believe today that when you cry out to the Lord, that He hears you? And here, following up in verse 16, you can read this and write these notes. David has a wonderful way of expressing how God reacted, and you can read that through all those verses. We don't have time today to read it all, but I want to give you the conclusion of verse 16. Here's what David said. He reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. So first of all, David would start and say, in my distress, I cried out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to God, help me. And then he would conclude by saying, and God reached down from heaven. He reached down from heaven. And what did he do? He rescued me. He rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He would give a beautiful understanding of that. I cried out to God and he came. I called out to God and he heard me. And he helped me and he rescued me. One ordinary day, the disciples were with Jesus. And you know, they were following Jesus' ministry. And of course, they're with the Son of God. They were probably feeling pretty spiritually strong. How would you feel if you're walking with Jesus physically? Now, we're walking with Jesus spiritually, aren't we? But imagine if he walked up in the house and Jesus said, come and follow me. You'd walk behind. You'd be tough Christian then. You'd be all shoulders up, man. There ain't nothing going to stop me. Well, look at Jesus, man. You talk to him, boy. I'm following the chief, you know. You'd be pretty strong. But one ordinary day, the disciples found themselves crying out to the Lord. Look at Luke 8, 22 through 24. You know this. Some are very familiar with the story, maybe. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat and started out. That sounds like an ordinary day to these fishermen. They got in the boat, no problem. They know how to do it. They know what the weather goes. They know how it's going. They know all about it. These guys are skilled fishermen. They know the lake. No problem. Jesus says, hey, let's go to the other side. What'd they first think? No problema. No problema. Let's do this. Jesus is getting in the boat. Let's go, man. But then in verse 23, how many know it? Things begin to change a little bit. And this is how kind of life goes. You think you got this under control. You think things are just going along and no problem. I do this every day. I'm good to go. It says, as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. Well, what's the problem right there? Man, look at the Lord. Man, he's just sacking out. Awesome. You know, Jesus is tired. We'll get this boat. We're going. Let's just go across. But, how many know there's always a but in there somewhere? But soon, a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. So an ordinary day, going across a very familiar place, very familiar fishermen, then all of a sudden a storm began to raise up. A fierce storm came. The boat began then to fill with water. They were in danger. Man, how many know? Life changed quickly for them. Like that. Anybody ever felt that before? I have. So what was the disciples' response? It said in verse 24, disciples went and woke him up shouting. They're screaming, Master, Master, we're going to drown. You can imagine their voices were all deep before. Now they're all, ah! I mean, there's an exclamation point. We're going to drown. When Jesus woke up, huh? What? He rebuked the wind and the raging waves. The storm stopped and all was calm. Notice in both of these illustrations I gave you about David and about the disciples, we see those who had faith in God, when the stuff hit, they went to the Lord. They cried out to God. They cried out to God, meaning that, listen, this is important, meaning this, they did not walk away from God when the hard times came. We are with God, we're for God, rishumba, ra, 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 Jesus, Jesus, yay! But when the stuff gets difficult, the stuff gets hard, sometimes people find themselves, whoa! This is tough. And yes, it is. This is hard. And yes, it is. And unfortunately, I've seen many people, they begin to go away from the Lord. When Bible tells us quite the opposite, that when something bad happens, we're to go to God. We're to cry out to God. Master, Master, do you see? I'm drowning. Master, Jesus, Savior, Lord, I'm hurting. God, I'm sick. The doctor is saying this about me. No, no, I'm not going to believe that. God, help me. Cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord. Talk to Him. Tell Him. He will listen. They didn't walk away from God. I've seen people get mad at God and people get upset with God because something's happening in their life. And they just say, I'll show you. I'm not going to church no more. I'll show God. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'll show God. If that loving God would allow this to happen in my life, I'll show Him. And all I could imagine is the father looking down and just beginning to weep. Just beginning to cry. Because he's saying, no, don't do that. Don't walk away. He says, call out to me. I will help you. I will help you. But you've got to call out to the Lord. But the illustrations we see here from David and the apostles, yet here's what we see. They pursued God even more when the times got harder. Do you know that when life gets harder, when you begin to not have enough, that's a time when you've got to give more to God? You've got to pour in more to God. You've got to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because God says, then and only then will you be supplied all you need. God has to be first. So whatever it is we deal with in this life, the hard times, the tragedies, whatever it is, we've got to find ourselves pouring more into God. Pouring more into God. God, I don't have enough, then I've got to pour into God. God, I'm dealing with this situation, this tragedy, then I've got to pray like I've never prayed before. I've got to get on my knees and not get up until the Lord gives me a peace in my heart. That it's going to be okay. That it's going to be okay. Does anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? This is life. This is life. And we may not ever understand. Probably we won't. But yet, we've got to pursue God. And the reality is that it's not always going to be easy to do, right? It's not always easy to, when you're not feeling it, when you're hurting, it's not always easy to stop and just talk to God about it. It's just not. That's the reality that we face. It's hard. Because our minds begin to just go through all kinds of stuff. And remember, there's those emotions that go through, and then maybe we begin to get upset. And there's a process of grieving for every single thing that we deal with. And sometimes in that grieving, sometimes we begin to get angry. And can I tell you something? That if you've ever gotten angry at God, don't think He's going to throw a lightning bolt at you. God gave you this emotion. He knows. Just don't stay in that camp too long, okay? Just talk to God and figure it out. He's okay. He doesn't fault us for having emotions or even maybe even holding our finger up at Him. He doesn't do that. What He wants us to do is He wants us to just come to Him and say, God, help me. God, help me. I believe when we go to the Lord in our darkest hours, in our hardest days, in our toughest times, I believe that when we go to Him in those times, it's when we will see God do incredible things in our lives if we just would go to Him. Sometimes your miracle is waiting for you to go to God. Sometimes. We just need to go to Him. We need to know this, that God will not forsake us if we call out to Him for help. You believe that today? Bible says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will not forsake us if we call out to him. He will not say, I'm busy. There will not be call waiting. There will not be leave a message after the beep. Beep. God listens when we call out to him. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Jesus spoke those words to the disciples and to us today. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In fact, he would tell us through Paul, the apostle in the Corinthian letters, he would say, nothing can separate you from me. Nothing can separate you from my love. So be of good cheer. Be encouraged. The apostle Paul dealt with his own difficulties, his own afflictions. He dealt with his own situation that we see the apostle Paul being the super Christian, super pastor, super evangelist. He's the guy who went out there and just took care of business, man. But how many know that he dealt with some stuff in his life? In fact, he dealt with a lot of stuff. To get to his point of where he was a learned man in Christ, he had to go through the fire. He had to go through the fire. And he did. And here's what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10. He said, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God, speaking about all the mysteries and all that Lord has been speaking into him, so to keep me from becoming proud, he says, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Bummer. Verse 8, he said, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. In verse 8, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. So the apostle is saying this. He's saying that even though I have a privileged place with God, even though I have a privileged place with God, I'm still dealing with some hard stuff in my life. This is what Paul's saying. He says, I am closer to Jesus than I could ever be. I love the Lord. I believe in Jesus. I've met him face to face. He says, but I'm still dealing with this hard stuff in my life. In fact, the Apostle Paul would say, I am begging God to help me. I beg the Lord to take it away. And then he goes on to say in verse 9, each time, here's God's response when the apostle was begging the Lord to take away this buffet from Satan, this messenger, something that was tormenting his life. He says, each time, here's what God said. My grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now, Paul's response. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. So what is he saying? He's saying, I'm begging God, help me, God, deliver me, heal me, Lord. Take care of this situation that's going into my life. And then the word of God's response is, my grace is all you need. The Lord said, my power works best in your weakness. You know what he's saying? When you become fully dependent, that's when I can fill you with my power to overcome. When we feel that we're at our weakest, that's when God will lift us up and he will give us strength. Why? Because it's when we come at our weakness that sometimes we begin to look up and say, God, help me. Because when you're feeling pretty strong and cocky, sometimes you just try to take care of business yourself. But the Apostle Paul, he begged the Lord. The Lord said, my grace is all you need. You just need me. Just turn to me. I'll help you. my grace, my love, my undeserved mercy in your life. That's all you need. So Paul's response, and this is why Paul was so filled with faith and why he would tell us and teach us the word of God, because he said this, his response to when God said, hey, my grace is all you need, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul didn't turn around and say, oh, I don't know about that. Give me what I want, man. Right? We can do that, right? You didn't answer the way I wanted you to, God. How many were frustrated on Friday when you didn't win the big billion-dollar lottery? Put your hands down, sinners. Wait a minute. Reverse that. Scratch that off. I'm just kidding about the sinner part. But I wouldn't mind taking $900 million. Yeah, tithe. We had my son-in-law, Cameron, and we were in a family, and we talked about that. In fact, no, Claudine was in there, right? We were talking about that in the office the other day, just saying, could you imagine? Could you imagine, you know, the tithe and what the church, and I'm just thinking, well, God could do it that way if he wanted to. We'll see. It's not over yet. But you were crying out and begging God, God, let me win the lottery. Let me win the money. He said, hey, my grace is all you need. He said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'll take care of you. And you're like, that's really cool at church, but I want the money! Well, Paul didn't respond that way. He said, you know what? He didn't complain about it. He said, you know what? Okay, I hear what the Lord is saying. He says, so now I'm going to boast about my weakness. I am going to sit there and say, you know what? I am weak. I'm a weak person. I'm a needy person. And that's okay, because the Word of God says that when I'm weak, He is strong. And I can depend on Him. And then it goes on to say, so the power of Christ can work through me. That's absolutely wonderful. But notice this. Though Scripture does not specifically tell what Paul was dealing with, nor what God did for him, what Scripture does tell us is that all we need in this world is God's grace in our life. All we need to know is that when we're weak, God will give us the strength to keep on keeping on. That we can depend not on California Lotto, but we can depend on our God to supply all our needs. And I ain't dissing on winning some cash if you do. Hey, God bless you. I'm never making joke about if people have money, God bless you. If you have a new house, a new car, God bless you. Just don't forget about your God. Please, don't forget about your God. I think that's why a lot of us don't have a lot of money. Because it may not be the best for us. God said, His grace is all we need. When we feel like we can't go on, when we feel like, I don't know, I'm tired of fighting, God says, I will help you. I will fill your life with my strength. I will give you the encouragement you need, because you're not alone. Call out to God. These words I'm speaking to are very real that people are dealing with today. And maybe you're dealing with that. Maybe you're in a situation where you're dealing with and just thinking, man, I don't know how much I can take. I don't know. These golden years, man, they've turned into copper. They're just not so golden anymore. Or maybe life has thrown you a curveball. Go Dodgers. But life throws us those curveballs, doesn't it? And I've talked to both younger and older, when they both just say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And yet God tells us His grace is all we need. That His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Turn to God. This is what the Apostle Paul did. He turned to God. And what a shame if he would have walked from God at that time. How much we would have missed from his experience of walking with the Lord. You see, it's when we get weak, it's when God himself will fill us with his power, and it's God himself who will deliver us. And that's where the apostle comes, so that the power of Christ can work through me when I just talk to God. The power of Christ will work through me. And he goes on to say in verse 10, that's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He says that I take pleasure in my weakness. I take pleasure in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, the troubles that I will suffer for the name of Jesus, because I have faith in God, because life is trying to knock me down, knock me out. I take pleasure in all that because I know this, that when I can't do it, God can. That when I begin to grow weary, I turn it over to God and he takes care of business. Because when I'm weak, God is always strong. Paul's overwhelming response was telling us that we should do likewise. That we don't depend on ourselves, we don't depend on what we can get, but we should always depend on the power of Christ working through you and me. Because God will never disappoint you. He may just do something different than you think it should be done. He's done that many times in my life. He did it a different way. But hindsight teaches me that was the better way. Right? He didn't give me that thing that I wanted, or that promotion, or that job, or he didn't do that in my life. He didn't give me that check. He didn't let me win. Well, hindsight tells us that I'm glad he didn't do that. And coming up to our close here, Jesus said this in John 16:33. We've mentioned this many a times because it's so relevant for us. He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace. Speaking to his disciples, he prepared them. He was preparing them to do life when he was going to have to go to the cross and he was going to have to ascend to heaven. He was preparing them to keep having faith. So he said, I've told you all this so that you may have peace. He said, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. You're going to deal with hard stuff. Jesus, how many know that Jesus dealt with hard stuff? A couple times the Bible says Jesus stood over and wept. And yet he's God. Yet he still was crying out for people because they wouldn't turn themselves over to God fully. But he says that you're going to have trials and sorrows. But take heart. Take heart. Because I've overcome the world. This world is not your home. You're just passing through. You have faith in me. I've resurrected. I'm with the Father, and you will be too. Take heart. I beat up the devil, and so can you. Take heart. How do you beat up the devil? How did Jesus do it? The Word says this. He preached the Word and believed the Word. Bible tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he's got to take a hike. Get him out of your life. Get him out of your households. Get him out of wherever. Get him out of your church. Get him out. Submit to God. Resist him. He's got to flee. Jesus said, you're going to deal with this stuff. He was preparing his followers. Let me tell you something. When you say this, that you have peace, and Jesus said, man, you're going to have troubles and sorrows. You could sit there and go, wow, bummer. God said I was going to deal with this. That's not so encouraging. But the comfort comes because you trust in Jesus. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Don't give up. Don't grow weary because I've overcome it. And because you have faith in me, you will too. That's why he would prepare his disciples for his leaving. He says this. He says, you're going to deal with stuff now. You're going to deal with stuff later. You're going to deal with hardships. You're going to deal with persecution. You're going to deal with people turning their back on you because you believe in me. But you're going to deal with all kinds of junk. I did too. But listen, you can make it. Be of good courage. Don't back down. Don't give up. Don't lose faith in God. Be of good courage, he says, because I've overcome. I've overcome, and so can you. Do you believe that when hard times come, when persecutions come, when situations come, do you believe that you can have good courage? Do you believe that no matter what you see, that you can have faith and you can be positive and you can be joyful in all things, as the Bible says? Why do you believe that? Because Jesus overcame. Because Jesus is an overcomer. And so are we. And so are we. Listen to 1 John 5, 4 and 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world. Hallelujah. And we achieve this victory through what? Our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. How many believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Bible says that we can win the battle against the world in this life because we believe in Jesus. In fact, it says that they're the only ones who can win the battle in this world. Are those who believe in Jesus. So be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Because we are overcomers. So what do we need to know? We need to know this. That God can and will work through our hardships. Amen. Whatever it is you deal with. Are dealing with. Whatever it is that comes your way. God can and he will work through those hardships. No matter what we face, we can trust God to handle it. No matter what we go through, we can trust God to handle it for us. Sometimes he'll do it for us, sometimes he'll do it with us. But he will never leave us through the process. So we need to seriously lean on our faith at all times, especially during those times of hardship and sorrow. Jesus said, we're going to deal with it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I understand it. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I understand why bad things happen to good people. Isn't that the question that everybody always asks? What about all those evil people? Let that happen to them. Let the good people be blessed. Well, you know what? We are blessed. We're blessed every single day, but we are going to have some difficulties. We're going to have uncertainties. We're going to have things that just really aren't any fun at all. But we need to have faith. Why do we need to have faith? Because Hebrews tells us faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. It is our faith in Jesus Christ that will confidently take us through this life, no matter what. No matter what. And not just any faith, but faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ will take us through. God's word says in Romans 8, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. How many believe that we have overwhelming victory in Christ? No matter what, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. In our darkest hour, our lowest points, our victory in this life is in our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need to know. Victory is ours through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Father, we love you. God, help us to know Help us to know and understand, Lord, that we have the victory in this life. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we're going to go through, we, if we trust in Jesus, we can be those who have overwhelming victory through Jesus Christ in each of our lives. So let us hold on to what we know, because there's much more we need to know. We thank you, Father. I pray a blessing upon each one that's here. I thank you for everyone's love, their grace. But most of all, God, I pray that each one of us would continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the church together said,
amen.
Amen. Brother Don.
We've got some more love to give you. Pastor Jennifer.